This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You want to go for a ride? Smashing Pumpkins. I heard the show in Kansas City was really awesome. I think Stephen St. John was there. Weren't there a bunch of people from A10 who went to the show? I heard everybody talk, a lot of people talking on the shows this week.
I know Steven and one of his daughters, I apologize, I can't remember which one of the twins, and Richie went, and then Lebo and I think his son Cooper went.
Oh, man.
And maybe a couple of Lebo's buddies.
Wish I could have gone to that show. I heard they're just awesome live. I mean, some bands disappoint, but Smashing Pumpkins never disappoints.
They also were on The Simpsons, so you have to give them credit for that.
The Hullabalooza
episode, then Cypress Hill, Peter Frampton. Trying to think. Obviously, Fish was on an episode.
Yeah, good stuff. By the way, you're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. You can also listen on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. I listen to the app at night. In fact, I was out for a walk last night, and I was listening to Nate Bucati on the Sporting Kansas City broadcast on my 810 app, which is good stuff. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We're live in the Rally House studios. You can follow us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Brad K. Porter, at Brad K. Porter. Got to learn to use the brand. Jed Marshall, at JedRow24. Good stuff. So hitting the news highlights one more time. By the way, Rudy Salazar is walking through the hallway as well. I'll just point this out. I understand what Rudy's T-shirt stands for. It says BPKC. It's for the Border Patrol. But if I'm working, I like to think it's Brad Porter.
That's what Rudy was actually saying. The irony of Rudy wearing a Border Patrol T-shirt.
Well, it's not. In fact, last week when I was filling in for Cody Tapp, by the way, congratulations to Cody Tapp and his wife and their family as they welcomed a new son into the world this week. He's been posting pictures all over Twitter, and what a special occasion for the Tapp family. So, Cody, way to go. Hopefully you're not listening to the show. Hopefully you're sleeping somewhere quietly and just taking care of everybody. Although, knowing his daughter Ruby, it's not quiet where they live, right?
Well, probably not anymore, but Cody did say that Ruby was like a super awesome sleeper. So, I don't know, based off this one, I don't know, I saw a picture yesterday on Twitter and the small child appeared to be sleeping on Cody's chest or whatever, yeah. So it seems like, yeah, things are going okay.
Well, as we go down this tangent, I will...
Rudy's being displaced. He was house-sitting for Cody, and now Rudy has to go back and live with his terrible roommates.
Oh, God. That's at Not That Rudy and at JedRow24.
And hopefully his roommates don't listen to the show.
Hopefully Rudy Salazar's roommates are fast asleep after a long night. Just whatever. But with my two kids, my oldest was a terrible sleeper when he was a baby. I mean, I would literally have to, because you'd rock him to sleep, had a nice rocking chair, have the final bottle of the night, and I'd rock him, and then I'd put him in his crib. And if you have those wooden floors, they creak a lot, right? So if I stepped on a board the wrong way and boom, head popped up, he climbed up on the side of the gate, started crying, and then he would toss his lunch, so just from crying so hard. There's a good image for you on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning. How about that? So I would literally...
Oh, I love that.
I mean this. I literally would have to, for lack of a better description, army crawl across the floor. You know when they're doing those drills where they have to crawl under barbed wire?
And, oh, yeah.
So I had to army crawl out of the bedroom. He's grown up. He's in high school now, but this was a long time. So I had to army crawl out of the room so as not to creak the boards. My second son, best sleeper I've ever seen in my entire life. We would do the final nighttime bottle. I would rock him to sleep. He would, and I'm going to use the word literally again because he literally did this. He would back his head up. He would look at me, and he would turn and point to the crib. I'm ready. Let's go. Get out of here. I need my sleep.
Yeah, I could appreciate that. The first child story that you shared would make me curious as to why anyone would want those child things. I mean, I get the rewarding nature of having kids, but...
Well, when your oldest starts high school and you start to see all the new adventures they're going to have over the next 4 years, it's deeply rewarding. And thankfully, knock on wood, we've raised two good kids. So At least I think so. It's my own judgment. I'm biased a little bit. On that note, I'm sure you wanted to hear about what my kids were like sleeping as babies. So we'll update you on the latest news here. The Chiefs made a signing this morning, if you missed it. Trouble in the defensive backfield, especially Friday night in Atlanta. The Chiefs have signed defensive back and corner Orlando Scandrick, who spent the last 8 years with the Dallas Cowboys. He was in camp with Washington. He was cut on Tuesday. Jay Gruden said not performance-based, but they have other young corners they think can step in and play at a high level. So the Chiefs officially signed him today. Field Yates of ESPN.com broke that story. And it's been reported, Tom Pelissero from NFL Network said 1 year, $1.5 million. Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, said some of that's probably on the veteran minimum, which is a little over $700,000, and the rest is probably in incentives. So he's 31 years old. 31. And he has 8 interceptions in 8 seasons with Dallas. And he's cut by Washington. Apparently Washington is a corner factory now. Trade Kendall Fuller to the Chiefs. Cut Orlando Scandrick, signed by the Chiefs. They got unlimited corners in Washington. Unlimited. Nobody's throwing on Washington this year. But I am bothered a little bit. 31 years old. That's a lot of mileage. Don't know how much gas is left in the tank. You know, Bashaud Breeland is still out there, but, you know, Bashaud hasn't signed with anybody. Probably a little more expensive. Probably a lot more expensive. And Breeland's been hurt, too. So
I was going to say, the Bashaud Breeland
fascination. Do you think it blew up too big?
Well, I just don't understand when he became Deion Sanders.
He became Deion Sanders because he showed up at Chiefs camp and went to the dorms and hung out with Bob Sutton and the veteran players. And then it's, oh, geez, Bashaud Breeland. I don't think anybody before that was saying, we got to have Bashaud Breeland. I think you're right.
It just always made me fascinated that people, this guy's a lockdown corner. I'm like,
pretty good.
He's a fine NFL player. If he's walking around and can't get a job, whether for money or whatever reasons, still you're like, he's fine.
I heard, I was listening to the Border Patrol, I believe on Friday, with Stephen St. John, Nate Bukati, and Jake Gutierrez, and they had their NFL guys at, I'm going to draw a blank.
They have quite a few.
I know, and I'm going to forget which one it was, so I don't want to.
Was it Adam Kaplan?
It was Adam Kaplan, and so they were asking him about Bashaud Breeland, and he said he's pretty damn good, and that he's probably a little bit underrated, so I don't know, maybe trying to sell it a little bit. I don't know.
But Deion Sanders,
There's not a lot of options out there. Maybe that's where the desperation comes from. Who else is out there at corner? Now, for safeties, I understand. People want Eric Reed. I get that. I want Eric Reed. I don't know if we can afford I don't know if the Chiefs can afford Eric Reed. But Bashaud Breeland, I would, you know, if he's amenable to a team-friendly contract for a season.
Maybe you draft a corner in, I don't know, the position instead of Breeland speaks.
Right.
And then you're not in this conundrum.
Maybe you don't trade Marcus Peters.
No, I think that needed to happen. Okay. That's a debate for months ago.
Yes.
I got into it with Twitter. Someone said something about that. And I'm like, is that still a thing? Oh, yeah, it is.
It is.
Okay.
That just based on things I've heard, yes. It's time to move on.
Well, and the Marcus
and
Peters
nothing
debate
to do with the
is
national
you're ingrained on one side or the other, and
right.
there's no middle ground. So
this
I got
elected to Congress, and I'm Party A. There's Party B across the aisle. We're not shaking hands.
I don't even shake hands with Party A ever.
We're not agreeing on anything. How about we write a bill that says everybody needs to say hello? Why don't we all say hello in the morning to each other?
Too friendly.
We're not saying hello to you. We're not saying hello to that guy. Jesus. Anyway, so Orlando Scandrick signed by the Kansas City Chiefs. 31-year-old, spent 8 seasons with the Dallas Cowboys. Royals won 3-1. Brad Keller pitched well in a 5 innings and 5 strikeouts and no walks. And Sporting KC wins 3-0 at home over Portland. 3 straight shutout victories for Sporting Kansas City. Allie Trost is going to join us at 10:25. She writes and does videos for the Blue Testament. We'll talk Sporting then, and then at 11 o'clock, David Leske from BP Kansas City Baseball Prospectus will join us and talk about Brad Keller and the Kansas City Royals. Right now, we want to hit back on the Chiefs. Andy Reid speaking to the media Saturday after practice, so this will contain no comments about Orlando Scandrick, but he was asked for an injury update following Friday night's game in Atlanta.
All right. I have no injuries for you yet. I mean, the guys are just coming in. But I mean, Stevie did have a concussion, and he's in the protocol. So that was I don't know how it falls in after that. I'll meet with him, but that's really the only thing I know for sure. So I thought overall we were better than we were the week before. We've got to, on both sides of the ball and on special teams, we've got to eliminate some of these penalties that are nagging us. Whether we have 2, 3, 4 of them on the offensive side that you don't need to have. And and then on special teams, we had too many there. So you're digging yourself a hole. You're going backwards, and you don't want to do that. Whether in any case, but in particular there. So we've got to clean that up. But again, like I mentioned yesterday, it was great to see some of the young guys have an extended period of time to play. I thought for the most part they took advantage of that. If they got whipped, then they came back and they battled back and made a play, which was important. They didn't make the same mistake twice, which was important. And so as a result, we were able to kind of tighten things up as the game went on and probably played a little bit better on both sides of the ball as it continued. So anyways, with that, time's yours.
Hey, Andy, looking ahead to this week, some of the guys who haven't played for you yet in the preseason, are you looking to get most of these guys back, any of these guys back? Ware, Spencer Ware, Sharkhandrick, Eric Berry, Hitchens, Raglan, those guys.
I'll probably know more later in the week, but I think there's a chance we do. I talked to Rick a little bit after the game about it. So a couple of guys, the linebackers, practiced well, got through that, and did well. So, but I've just got to see. I want to see how the practices go, and we'll treat this week. Again, we don't do a ton of game planning, but the schedule is going to be similar to what we do for a normal game. We just we've still got a few things, situations we got to take care of, so we can't put all the focus on Chicago. But at least we'll go through a normal game week, and I just want to see how the guys work through that.
Yeah. Okay. The deep ball that Pat threw last night. You like having that out there on tape for everybody to see?
Well, I mean, I hope it's not the last one. I mean, I think people know that he has a strong arm and he can do that. I think it was an opportune time. He kind of had the same thing the play before, and a chance to Kelsey on the play before, but he got flushed a little bit and had to check it down. But he's got that capability. I mean, that's one of the things that he has. People know that. I thought 10 tracked it. Tyreek tracked the ball very well on that. And sometimes those catches when you're wide open, you got to put a little bit more focus on it. You've seen a lot of those drop, and he did that. He focused on it and caught it and got himself in the end zone.
Yeah, that ability to track the ball that he has, is that something a guy can become great at, or do you sort of have to have that in you and maybe you can improve on it, but you got to kind of have it in you?
Yeah, you do. You do. It's unique to have that speed with that. So, and Sammy's got it, and we haven't been able to get him in that position, but he's got the ability to do that. He's done that over his career, and Robinson, likewise has a pretty good knack for that kind of stuff. So, we've got some guys the speed guys that we talk about that can do that. And before Conley was hurt, he had a few of those. So that's that's a positive.
Yeah, I asked a minute ago about whether you liked having that play out there on tape. I know that for a quarterback, having a big arm certainly isn't everything, but and a lot of times it doesn't hurt. Does having a guy with that kind of ability just sort of add a different dimension to your offense? Not that you didn't know
this. I think it helps. It helps in a lot of ways. Potentially it can help you in the run game, just with a little bit looser defense, and in your shorter immediate pass game. That was the thing that I was impressed with Patrick the most. I mean, I know he can sling the heck out of it down the field, but he had a couple of nice touch throws there that are probably going to get overlooked. I thought that he really did a nice job with, and showed his accuracy and ability to make the ones that people might consider a little tougher just sideline throws, and they're pretty good with that.
Is that, I assume one of the throws you're referencing is that throw, that third down throw to Kelce?
Yeah, so it was similar to the one he had last week, right? You want to see if where's the improvement made? Well, you can take that play. So you can say, last week he overshot it. This week it was right on the money.
Yeah, okay.
Andy, what's the chance to go back through and watch the film? I know when you asked last night about young guys who stepped up, it was hard without watching it. But now that you had a chance to go back through it, was there anybody who jumped out to you in particular?
Yeah, I liked Nadi and the job that he did in the middle. And again, he's somebody that not everybody's going to see. But it was good to get him back in playing. He's coming off that elbow. So it was good to get him in there playing and seeing what he would do, and I thought he handled that well. That will help us. I thought Speaks continued to play strong. He's such a big, powerful guy. And he got that collapse on the pocket, which is so important. I mean, even though you're not hitting the quarterback, he's feeling that pressure. So, again, a young guy. I liked what Neiman did. O'Daniel, I thought, had some good snaps. Wiley's been here for a little bit, but, I mean, he would be another one at the guard position, I thought, that did a good job. So Smith had a couple nice plays at corner, I thought. A couple he'd like to have back, but there were a couple plays, there, big ones down the stretch that he made that I thought were good. So you saw Watts make a nice play, come up and strike, and ball popped up and get a fumble there. So that was a positive. So, and then Springs is kind of bouncing back and forth from corner and safety, and he did a nice job there. So anyway, I could go. I mean, I could keep going, but there were some for the young guys. I think it's so valuable. It's valuable for the for the veterans, but those young guys to get in there and get some work is real good.
Coach, I'm curious about the pass protection. How do you feel like it progressed this week from week one?
I thought the pass protection was better. We got to tighten a couple things up on the run game. we normally do a little bit better there, but but I thought the pass protection was better. I miss Williams with the rookies, too. I thought he did a nice job at running back. So he came in and had started that second half with a little pop. But I thought the pass protection overall was better than it was the week before. And, this defensive line, they've got real good quickness and speed in that. So they're good pass rushers. But I thought we handled that pretty well.
Anything else? All right.
Also,
go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
In the secondary, do you have any? You got some injuries and everything there, and obviously you're hoping to get some guys back. But how do you feel about those young guys overall? I know you mentioned a couple of the rookies and everything, but just even the first and second year guys that you have back there, how do you feel about where you are with them?
Yeah, So there were some positive things. I mean, getting McQuay in there, again, he just got back. So, I mean, he only had a couple of days of practice, and then we threw him out there. But he, that was very valuable time for him. He's a gifted player. He's just got to play. You know, I mean, he just needs the reps. And so you saw he missed the one naked come out to his side, but he came back and made a big play. And so, you know, again, it's just a matter of getting out there and doing it. I tell you, I mean, the ones that I mentioned, I feel the same way about. I mean, but just getting out there. Even when you go with Amerson and Fuller, just they're new here. So there's a difference where the more they play, the more comfortable they're going to be in it. They'll find out what they can get away with and what they can't get away with within the scheme. And so, you know, it becomes important. Every snap becomes important for those guys.
All right. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. See, look here. That's how we roll. See, I got that all taken care of. So, Andy Reid, the one question I thought was kind of funny, I think it was Adam Teicher at ESPN.com, and this is not, I'm not saying Adam's funny here, but Adam asked Andy Reid, what'd you think about that 69-yard pass by Patrick Mahomes II? Was it a good idea to show off that kind of skill before the regular season? Yes, it is. Everybody knows Patrick Mahomes has a cannon for an arm. There's no distance that's going to surprise anybody unless he throws it 80 yards or over the top of a mountain like Uncle Rico. Nothing's going to surprise anybody. And if I had a kid who threw 69-yard passes, I'd have him set up in the middle of Main Street in morning traffic and just launch him down the street every day. Look what I can do. I can throw the ball 69 yards. Watch it. Measure it.
Be very unpopular.
If Patrick Mahomes was on Main Street throwing the ball 69 yards, that would be popular.
I'm just saying.
How about Red Friday? Maybe he's down at
Union Station.
Union Station. And I'm going to throw it over to the Liberty Memorial. How about that?
Maybe.
That'd be awesome.
Probably needs to get ready for the game.
All right. On that note, again, if you missed it, the Chiefs made a signing this morning. Another corner out of who was cut by Washington this week. Orlando Scandrick. Played the last 8 years with the Dallas Cowboys, former fifth-round pick. He's 31 years old. Coming up next, after this timeout, we're going to welcome in Allie Trost, who writes for the Blue Testament, does video content for the Blue Testament, covering Sporting KC and Major League Soccer. A big 3-0 win at home over Portland last night. Now just 3 points out of the top spot in the Western Conference. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me at Brad K. Porter. Jed Marshall is here as well at JedRow24. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Rubio firing the shot, and there's the opener. That's the first goal on the season for Diego.
Anytime you can mix a hip-hop track with the Knight Rider theme song, totally down. What is it? This song's got to be, what, 15 years old now?
Oh, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, I was listening to this in college.
I love it.
I'm 35, so.
I like this one. I really do.
You like Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the best hair in the business.
No, he doesn't have the hair. He used to.
He
rocked,
when he
yeah,
did.
He had the huge
when
dreads and everything. Yeah, and he got rid of those.
When he did. Anyway, for our discussion on Busta Rhymes, we welcome you into this edition of Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me at Brad K. Porter. Jed Marshall is here as well at JedRow24. We're live in the Rally House studios. Last night, Sporting KC, as you heard, Nate Buchady on the call on Fox Sports and live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. 3-0. And now just 3 points back still of FC Dallas in the Western Conference. And now we welcome in Allie Trost, who writes and does video content for the Blue Testament covering Sporting KC and Major League Soccer. Allie, this is like your third or fourth time on the show, so I think you're now qualified to be labeled as a friend of the show.
I would love to have that title. I think that is very fitting. And you know what? It's also fitting because third appearance on the show. Fording gets a 3-0 win.
There you go.
Third straight win and their third straight clean sheet.
Absolutely.
So, great things come in threes, I think.
Are you one of those people that just the number, when you see certain numbers, they just like form and you put them all together and you link these codes and things like that?
No, I think we can agree that's Mike Kuhn and also the
okay.
stat masters over at Sporting Kansas City who put out some incredible stats day in, day out. But things like that, yes, I do take note of those.
Absolutely. Before we get into the details of last night's game, just kind of a broad strokes, 30,000-foot look at it. About 4 weeks ago, maybe 4.5 weeks ago, I was posing the question, should we be in red alert on Sporting KC? Should we be hitting the panic button? Because they had gone through a 5 or 6 game stretch. They were not getting wins. They were not getting results. They had a lot of injured players and just did not look like the Sporting KC team that we've come to know over the Peter Vermes era. Then they get guys healthy. I'm sure that's a major part of it. They get Aikapara back. They get Matt Beisler back. Felipe Gutierrez is back. As you said, 3 straight wins, all by way of shutout. Dominant performance against Portland last night. And instead of the panic button from 4.5 weeks ago, I've got the smile back, but I'm not ready to hit the we're going to the cup button yet. I've got to wait a few more weeks for that.
Right, and I think that's totally valid. I feel the exact same way. But I do think that this shows a lot of promise. And looking back on the game last night and then also just kind of seeing, you know, where was the team last season? The resurgence of Diego Rubio and Jurso Fernandez has been incredible and so crucial at this point in the season because, you know, players like Daniel Shalloway and players like Johnny Russell and, you know, obviously Felipe Gutierrez as well haven't been scoring as much as they were earlier in the season when they had those huge stretches. But something interesting that I found is that Jurso and Rubio were the top two leading goal scorers for Sporting Kansas City last season. Jurso with 8 goals, Rubio with 6. This season, with still a couple months left to go in the regular season, Rubio has already tied his goal number from last season already. With limited minutes on the field, might I add, he is actually one of the only players, he's the leading player with less than 450 minutes played total, but has the most combined goals and assists. So that just goes to show the depth of this team, I think, is that a player like Diego Rubio, who was one of the top scorers last year and also had significantly more minutes, is being able to go out there, you know, in more sub situations. He's getting a lot more starts now, but make a difference and score really crucial goals, help win games. And last night, that brace, what was up with that? I mean, his energy was incredible.
Right.
He was, Peter said last game against LAFC that he had played his best game of the season. But last night, I think he may have given Peter a run for his money there because I thought last night he looked incredible.
We're speaking with Allie Trost, who writes for the Blue Testament, covers Sporting KC and Major League Soccer. Follow her on Twitter at Trost Allie, TROSTALY. Diego Rubio, let's stick with that since the man got the brace last night. He should be the top story. He had gotten the label early on in the season as the super sub because yep. I believe his first 4 goals all came in substitute situations. But he's gotten the opportunity to start a couple of games. They brought in Christian Namath, and you thought, okay, maybe Namath gets, you know, takes over that top spot whenever he's ready. But Diego Rubio is making his case, and I saw a discussion on Twitter last night, and I believe Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com was involved in it. Somebody said, well, it's nice he's doing this year because he didn't do a whole lot last year. You cited the numbers, he actually did, but he was coming off an injury last year. This year, fully healthy, he had the super sub role, which was terrific. And now he's getting starts. And look, on this team, with the depth of Sporting KC, it's a fight every game to keep your spot. And right now, Diego Rubio looks like he's in for the fight.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that in-team competition, like you just said, is so important, especially now with a team like Sporting who has so many options up top, especially. Like you said, they have Namath. When Kyrie Shelton comes back and he's healthy, he brings a lot in a different way to that offensive line. With his size in that central number 9 position, he opens up so much opportunity for guys like Daniel Shalloway and Johnny Russell on the wings, and that's when they were the most successful, and that's when they were scoring the most goals, is when they were out there with Kyrie Shelton for that, I'd say, 8 or 9 game stretch where those three were primarily starting in those three positions. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, the depth of the team is incredible, and Diego Rubio is making one heck of a case for that role. But like you said, it will be very interesting going forward as playoffs come near, as Namath gets more game fit, and even as Felipe Gutierrez kind of gets back into his groove. You know, he hasn't scored since he's been back from his injury, and he was actually one of the top, up until last night, he occupied one of those top goal scorer positions for Sporting Kansas City with only 5 goals, all scored in just his first however many.
It was five goals, five
limited time, but such an impact. So it'll be really interesting to see him hopefully coming back. And I think last night, from my perspective, that was the most I've seen him do and the most active I've seen him since his return. A couple other games before that, it kind of looked like he got a little bit more lost. And I don't know if that was because of fitness level or just him trying to find his groove, kind of get back into the ebbs and flows of the game, reconnect some of that chemistry. But last night, he looked really active. He got a lot of great looks, whether it be being creative in his plays going forward or even just some shots on goal. So really looking forward to see what he can bring. And then Namath had a couple of rockets there towards the end
right, when
he subbed on. So really looking forward to see if he can capitalize here sooner rather than later on some of those.
Sporting KC with a big 3-0 win at home over Portland last night. 3 straight wins, all shutouts. Now just 3 points back of the top spot in the Western Conference. We're speaking with Ali Trost from the Blue Testament. I heard this discussion last night, and I'll confess, I don't remember if it was Nate Bucati and Matt Lawrence on the game broadcast or if it was Dave Borchert on the final whistle on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But the discussion was about, in particular, last night's game with players coming back from injury. Coming off the bench last night, this goes to the discussion about depth, coming off the bench last night, Johan Kwaze, who's a designated player, Christian Namath, who just signed a couple of weeks ago, he's not ready to go 90 minutes yet, and Johnny Russell. All three of those players coming off the bench but not starting. If you have players of that quality coming off the bench, and then when they get in the rotation and those other guys are coming off the bench for them, I'm more stoked now. I was so down 4 or 5 weeks ago, but now I'm stoked again, and I'm just looking at it, and maybe, hopefully my eyes don't deceive me. I'm thinking, geez, this stacks up against any team in Major League Soccer right now.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's so important, too, for fans and anyone who follows this team to remember, is that when they went through that 6-game winless stretch, when they were facing all that adversity with injury, I think the most important thing, and something that I love looking back on, is some of my conversations with Peter, seeing things that Captain Matt Beisler said. They never gave up belief in the team. Peter's always said, look, we're a good team. Right now, we just have guys who are out, and once we have all of our players available for selection, they're going to be unstoppable. And I just think being able to maintain that mentality throughout that stretch is going to be so important as they now try to make a run for the cup. And I mean, what better, in my opinion, way to do it than to go through something like that as a team in the season and then be able to like look back on that moment and say, look, we went through this, we can do anything now. And that's truly how I feel. I think getting all their players back, having a really solid chance to win the MLS Cup this year, I think there are a few teams who can actually contend with them.
We're speaking with Ali Trost from the Blue Testament, talking about Sporting KC and their big 3-0 win over Portland out at Children's Mercy Park last night. Yet another home sellout for Sporting Kansas City. All right, the player that jumps out to everybody when he's on the field is Johnny Russell. One, he's full of energy. He runs at people. To me, he's a hard ass. He's covered in full sleeve tattoos. He's got a crazy haircut. So your eyes just follow Johnny Russell when he's on the field. So he gets in minute 69 last night, bangs one home for the final goal, his 8th of the season. Despite all the time he's missed, he has 8 goals to lead this team. And then what I thought was great, when you talk about teamwork, so Johnny Russell gets his goal. It's 3-0. The game's over, right? It's in the bag. It's done.
Yep.
Portland's not there to play. They want it. They're already got one foot on the bus. But Johnny Russell was working so hard to get Christian Namath a goal to help him, to help pay him back for setting him up. And I was like, that's kind of awesome. Yeah, okay, you're up 3-0. Maybe call off the dogs. No! If they're not going to play defense, go get another one, and Namath probably should have had one, but I thought that was a great bit of teamwork by Johnny Russell.
Brad, I completely agree. I love what Johnny Russell brings to this team. First of all, the fans have totally adopted him immediately. I mean, in just the first 2 months, it was like he had been there forever. And like you said, he never gives up. Like, he works so hard. It doesn't matter that, you know, he just kind of sealed the deal with the game. He put the nail in the coffin with that third goal. But like you said, trying to get Namath that goal. I mean, even when they played Vancouver and he was going for the hat trick and the foul in the box, Elie goes up to take the PK, and Johnny Russell very well could have gone up in that PK position, taking it to get that third goal, to get his hat trick earlier than he ended up getting. But it's like he's a team player, and that is what Peter Vermees preaches, loves bringing in for this team, and what's so important for the chemistry of the team and just the camaraderie in general. But Johnny Russell and Christian Namath, some of their combinations there towards the end of the game made me really excited for what's to come with some of the options that the two of them will present offensively for Sporting. So that's going to be definitely a pair to watch. And also one I'm excited to watch is going to be Daniel Shalloway and Christian Namath with that Hungarian connection.
Right.
And just I think the way that the two of those players play individually is going to be really, really special when it comes together.
All right, you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're speaking with Ali Trost from the Blue Testament. Sporting KC 3-0 over Portland last night. A couple of other things about the game last night. Another shutout. That's 3 in a row, and that's 10 for the season. And look, yeah. I know the shutouts go in the goalkeeper's record column, but if you speak with Tim Melia, who I think is the best goalkeeper in Major League Soccer, you'll get an argument that Stefan Frey might be, which I heard, I think Taylor Twellman made that argument yesterday during one of the broadcasts. Okay, you can make that argument. But if you talk to Tim Melia or Peter Vermees, they'll tell you it can't just be the goalkeeper. And it can't just be the back four defensively. It's got to be your midfielders coming back and playing defense, and it's got to be your forwards pressing the other attacking players when they're moving forward. It's a team stat. I love Tim Melia, and it's great, but it's a team stat. And when they were going through that stretch of six games without a win, they were giving it. It was like somebody pulled up a yacht full of goals, and they just dumped them into the Kansas City goal. That's changed. The players are healthy. It's changed, and now Sporting is getting back to playing the kind of team defense it used to, and that's another part that has me really excited.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of that entire stretch and all of those soft goals, as Peter Vermees called them, that were going in, it was so uncharacteristic of this team, which Peter's always said, the one thing that Sporting Kansas City does really, really well, amongst all things, but the one thing is being a very defensively sound team. And like you said, that starts from the center forward and goes all the way back to the goal line with Tim Melia. So seeing the defense really tighten things up, and I think that also just comes from getting some of these healthy players back and seeing Aiko Parra and Matt Beisler kind of get back into their groove. I know two veterans with really strong careers, like the two of them, coming back from injury, you might just think, oh, they'll just plug right back in, they'll be totally fine. But like any player who comes back, no matter how long you've been in the league, no matter how long you've been doing it, there's always going to be kind of that adjustment period when you come back from an injury. And Aiko Parra has faced a lot in the last few seasons. So just I think him now coming back, and he even said they're focused on getting those clean sheets. Like his goal every game as a defender, obviously, is to be helping get those shutouts and to keep soft goals especially from happening. And so to see him in the last couple games really come up big, there was that one play in the LAFC game where he tracked back, was able to stop what probably would have been a goal from happening. So just kind of seeing him be a little bit better in those one-on-one defending situations where we didn't really see him do a great job of towards the end of that stretch, and kind of was the reason that Sporting didn't walk away with a couple of home wins that they probably should have because of some poor defensive moments. But I think he's been in great form. I think last night he played, the entire back line played extremely well. And obviously LAFC and then the Houston game prior to that were also great, great testaments to that as well. So the defense is back. The defense is back, and the forward and the offensive line has options. So between those two things, this team's going to be unstoppable, I think, going forward. But like you said earlier, can't get too excited just yet. There's still, you know, a lot that we still have yet to see to make sure that they have everything that they need to kind of tap into that incredibly successful run that they had at the beginning of the season. And I think that's why this kind of stretch of poor games there in the middle was so hard for fans, because things were looking so good. But with adversity, with injury, things like this are going to happen. So now with getting everyone back, it's the perfect time, right before playoffs. So
We're speaking with Alec Trost from the Blue Testament, covers Sporting KC and covers a lot of sports. Give her a follow on Twitter, at Trost Alley, T-R-O-S-T-A-L-Y. Final thing for you here, Alley. I like in games, okay? And what if it's Sporting KC, sure, I would love to see them win every game. I would love to see them all be as easy as 3-0. But I also like entertainment value. There were two teams in Major League Soccer who had zero interest in participating in a game yesterday. One was LA Galaxy, who went up to Seattle and got blasted 5-0. They had $16 million of players who were not playing, all three of their designated players, plus Zlatan Ibrahimovic doesn't want to play on turf. I think he's done it once this year. So that team was not interested in playing soccer. They went to Seattle to go to the fish market. That's the only reason they were in Seattle. The other team that had zero interest in playing a game yesterday was the Portland Timbers. And normally they're a very tough team for Sporting KC to play against, because they're a team of, they'll tackle you hard, they'll foul. I thought they should have had more red cards, possibly a yellow. The referee was not interested in handling that situation. They came to Sporting Park to sit out there and play for a scoreless draw and walk home with a point. They had zero interest in winning that game, and I just don't understand that mentality, because Peter Vermes will tell you, we're not going to Houston, we're not going to Dallas, we're not going to Seattle and parking a bus. We want to go get 3 points. I just don't understand that mentality. And for Portland fans, you should be pissed off this morning.
Yeah, and no, I completely agree with you. The whole bunker mentality that a lot of teams travel with just to try to walk away with a draw, or, you know, pray that they get a counterattack and are able to get a goal up early and then, you know, hold the defense down so that they can try to steal 3 points. I don't get it either. Because honestly, at the start of the game, I thought Portland actually looked pretty strong to start. Like in the opening minutes, you know, they came out, they had pretty good energy, and then Sporting just kind of slowly but surely, and then all of a sudden they just controlled the entire game. Like the possession, Sporting had 63% possession. They outshot Portland 25-7 and 10-1 on goal, like on goal. So, I mean, Portland, like you said, just had absolutely no interest. And Peter even said early in the week, Portland's a team who is very dangerous on the counter. And we saw that a couple of times, especially in the first half when the game was still 0-0. There were a couple of moments where that one right off the post, I mean, that could have changed the entire game.
Sure.
Had that just been an inch to the right. So, they are dangerous on the counter, and Peter Vermes, like I said, he said in practice, he knew that was going to be an issue. He also said that Portland's a team that is very good at using their imagination in the offensive third, but we didn't really see a lot of that from them last night, and I do think that was just them trying to bunker, and then Diego Rubio getting goals in the first half is just so important, I think, and especially for a team like Sporting who kind of struggled with that a lot during that six-game winless streak. Was the biggest thing was they were having a really hard time scoring right away, or they were conceding the first goal. So I think that just changed the entire mentality. And from there, Portland was then just hoping, after Rubio put up those two goals, they were hoping to bunker and then really just hoping to get a counter. And then towards the end, they were just like, we just want to go home.
Yes,
and that was very obvious just from the energy that they displayed there in the second half, especially. And for all those Portland fans that traveled, not good.
Yeah.
They had every right to be upset.
Hey, Allie, I thank you so much for your time. I know you got a busy day, but try to take some time to enjoy it. Great stuff covering Sporting KC for the Blue Testament. And I know you cover other sports as well, so I would encourage you to follow Allie on Twitter, at Trost Alley, or at Trost Alley, pardon me. I still mess up once in a while. At TROSTALY. Covers a lot of different sports. Allie, thank you very much. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, that's
Have
Allie.
A great day.
All right, you too. That is Allie Trost from the Blue Testament. Join us to talk Sporting KC. By the way, we're going to head to timeout. I'll give you a note after this timeout about that game last night and what I expect from the Border Patrol tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. On that note, you are listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here as well. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Little Bob Marley, right? Do you play Bob Marley for your cat? Does that soothe your cat? Because since your cat's name is Marley, right?
Yeah, not a lot soothes my cat. She's kind of hyper. No, she's a pretty good cat. But I don't know. I listen to so much eclectic stuff. Normally when I'm at home, yeah, there's some Bob Marley in the mix.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it really calms her down necessarily. She's normally taking a nap.
This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. You can listen on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Jed Marshall is here. Follow him, at JedRow24. We're live in the Rally House studios. Cloudy, overcast Sunday. Maybe get some rain later. So I thought about this while we were in the last segment talking about Sporting KC. By the way, thanks, Allie, once again. So I asked this of Nate Buchady yesterday. He was on to talk about big steps, which we're going to talk about in the next hour. So Patrick Mahomes' touchdown pass went how far? Through the air. How far did it travel?
69 yards.
Johnny Russell's goal for Sporting KC last night, which made it 3-0, came in the 69th minute. See, Allie started with the numbers earlier. So I got to thinking, okay, Patrick Mahomes, 69-yard pass. Johnny Russell scores in the 69th minute. I'm thinking the Border Patrol tomorrow with Stephen St. John, Nate Buchady, and Jake Gutierrez is going to be able to use those two things in their show. And I'll be listening at 6 a.m. to see it.
Yeah, the boys normally have a pretty good time, so I'm sure that they'll figure out a way to be creative.
And if Gary Lezak can come up with some kind of
forecast. I saw Gary Lezak this morning.
Did you? Was he at Big Steps?
He was.
Okay. I heard him all, like the last couple of weeks saying, well, I might be there. I think I'll be there. I didn't know if he committed or not, so good for Gary Lezak.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully Gary comes up with either a current temperature or an overnight forecast where there'll be a temperature of 69 degrees.
It's pretty pleasant. It's supposed to rain. I don't know. I've seen it moving anywhere. It was supposed to be like 4. Now it's 1. Seems like it could be any time based off the clouds. But hopefully, yeah, it cools it down to a more reasonable temperature.
Yeah. So I'll definitely be looking forward to the Border Patrol tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., especially since my oldest has a 6 a.m. soccer practice before school tomorrow. I'm going to love that alarm going off at 4:45 a.m. Get up, make breakfast, get everybody ready.
So fortunate for non-athletic genes.
That'll be great. I'm not saying I got them from me, but whatever. All right, we're coming up to the end of hour number two with one more to go. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to have David Leske from Baseball Prospectus at BP Kansas City. We'll talk Brad Keller and the Kansas City Royals. We'll also have Jed Lyons and a couple of other. We'll talk about big steps. So we'll take a time out. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. You're listening to Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.